Thank you, Pastor, and good evening to each one of you. We certainly do appreciate the work that you did yesterday at the college and the way the Lord has blessed over the holiday break. We've seen the Lord work. The girls' dorm has been transformed into a beautiful two-bedroom accommodation for Simeon and Kate Weston. And they're a lovely couple, and they've moved in and got it really looking nice. Pastor did an inspection yesterday and it certainly come up to the mark. And then this week done a bit of a makeover on where the girls are now, the new girls area. So the Lord is good. Everything is coming together, and for those that worked hard around the property yesterday, different aspects. There was somebody that came on and visited there for a moment or two and said, "Oh, what are you doing? A total makeover?" That was a New Zealander, but we won't hold it against him. but if you want to say so, well, it was a good see it. Rejuvenating and getting ready for a good year. Praise the Lord for the number of new students coming in. And we're in for a good time, I believe, of God's blessings. A great time of development and moving forward in the Lord's will. Well, please go to Luke chapter 17 this evening. Luke chapter 17. And Luke chapter 17, and we're going to take up from where we left off a couple of weeks ago when we were talking about faith and discussing the principle of faith, the general definition of faith. And we actually got to this point and this verse. So we were talking about faith, we were talking about the different degrees of faith. We talked about how there were those that have no faith, and the Lord had to rebuke his disciples even that they weren't trusting in a particular situation. No faith, little faith. And then we talked about great faith, the mega faith, and that was good to be challenged about that. And then, of course, we were thinking about mustard seed faith. And how if we have faith as a grain of mustard seed, we can see things happening, things moved and what have you. And as we come to our message tonight, we're going to take it up. Our verse will be in chapter 17, Luke chapter 17 and verse number 5. The apostles said unto the Lord, increase our faith. Now notice the context here, verse 1. Then said he unto the disciples, it is impossible that offences will come, but woe unto him through whom they come. It were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck, and he cast into the sea, than that he should offend one of these little ones. Take heed to yourselves. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him. And if he repent, forgive him. And if he trespass against thee 7 times in a day, might say they were having a bad day, amen, not getting on. If he trespass against thee 7 times in a day, and 7 times in a day turn again to thee, saying, I repent. You know, I'm sorry, as we say in our vernacular. Thou shalt forgive him. And the apostles said unto the Lord, increase our faith. And the Lord said, if ye had faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye might say unto this sycamine tree, be thou plucked up by the root, and be thou planted in the sea, and it should obey you. Let's pray. Father, direct us now in your word. Help us, Lord, to attend and to do the word and to grow thereby. Lord, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And we pray, dear Lord, tonight that you would certainly grant some increase in faith. And Lord, set us on a pattern of increasing faith, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Isn't it interesting that this request of the disciples, Lord, increase our faith, should come in the midst of this particular teaching of the Lord. The Lord was teaching them here how to get on with those pesky people. Now that's a word that they like to use in the US, that pesky word. You don't hear it so much here, do you? Depends which part you're coming from, but we heard it a few times when we were up in the north there last year. And if you've got somebody that's a problem, a constant conflict, and they're saying things to you that are offensive and annoying, any of you got somebody like that in your family circle or workplace? You got somebody that's always, you know, and they're always stirring up, and then they say, oh, it's just a joke. It was just joking. No, and they've said something that's really biting and hard and you know, and not really being very nice. And that we think, well, we can handle that occasionally, amen. But here's a day the Lord's describing to the disciples, these apostles. This is a day in which seven times this person offends. Now, whether it be, you know, maybe they're saying, well, why did you wear that jacket and those colours today? You know, why did you wear that? Well, that's the beginning of, you know, they first see you. Why are you wearing those colours? They don't go together. Like the one preacher, said, well, I prayed about what I'm wearing today, what about you? But maybe that's how the day started, you know. What are you wearing those colours? They don't go together. Then later on, what did you do that for? Don't you know, that's not the right way to copy that. You do it this way and put it in that way. You're a dummy. Boy, you're dumb. Boy, you're stupid. Why don't you do it this way? The sort of situation's happening. Here the Lord's describing a bad day seven times. That means normal working day is around about 8 hours, so once an hour, you've got something thrown at you by the same person that is offensive. Perhaps about 3 o'clock in the afternoon, they're on about the kind of deodorant you're wearing, you know, or the lack thereof. And that can be wearing, you know. It can be very wearing, and it can cause an offence, and we can become offended by these sort of things. And they can really get under the skin. Normally, well, we say, oh, well, I just don't get on with this person, or back off, you know, that kind of thing, or else we just avoid certain people because we've had these offences, these things that have been said that are inappropriate and what have you. And the Lord's describing this sort of situation and telling his apostles, every time that turkey gives you a hard time, if he repents, forgive him. Now then, I think we need to think about both sides of this story. On the one hand, there is someone that is causing offence who needs to repent and say sorry or forgive me. On the other hand, there's the person that needs to be doing the forgiving. Now both of those are difficult situations, aren't they? It's very difficult. We don't like to admit, you know, that we've done something inappropriate. We don't like to admit that. On the other hand, we don't like to talk to the person we've annoyed and we don't like to talk to them and make things right. What we often say is, well, get over it, brother, you know. Just get over it and get on. Well, the Lord is teaching that there is an important spiritual truth here, that we need to forgive people. And that's not an easy thing. I think we make light of it sometimes, but it divides families. It will cause children to say, well, I'm not, as I get older, you know, to become distanced from their father or what have you. Or to say, well, you know, I'll just keep away from that kind of person and what have you. And there can be breakdown in relationships, breakdown in families, breakdown in church fellowship and different situations with different people. And then division comes and people go apart. But they carry the offence inside. And so we're talking about something that is difficult to deal with. And isn't it interesting, the apostles recognised, and they were real about it, just how difficult this teaching would be, and is. And they're really taken aback by this How the Lord is teaching that by faith, in the faith, in the Christian's faith, you love others, you forgive them, you overlook the difficulties and problems and try and show the love of the Lord Jesus Christ in these situations. And these disciples realize that this is not an easy thing. This is not an easy thing. And they cry out, Lord, increase our faith. When they're in that boat, you know, and the boat's going down, they're out on the Sea of Galilee and one of those storms whips up and the whole thing and the Lord's asleep and he gets up and everything and so on. And he rebuked the waves. They didn't say then, Lord, increase our faith. They said it right in the midst of this teaching concerning this interpersonal conflict and the matter of the heart. We need to increase faith. Now we often don't realise and don't think of it this way, how applicable faith is. How applicable it is. But we need to have faith in the Lord and faith in His plan that we would forgive somebody. You know, it's not popular these days to forgive anybody or to admit that you're wrong. To admit and to take the humble path. To admit that you are wrong or that you know, we see this in the workaday world, for people to face up to the reality of the problems they've got. Many times people then respond in a negative way and the conflict stays, it's never resolved and the difficulties develop. People say, well, you know, I'm out of here, you know, I'm never going to speak to him again. People say, well, I just regard my father to be dead. That's how I regard him. He's dead, I said. Do I visit him? No, I don't. I'm free of all that. The bitterness is there, the heart is seething, and their life is becoming hampered by the conflicts from the past. Now, it is true, some people have some very deep offences from the past. Children, for instance, abused by a parent. Or some other person, a person that is a lady that is attacked by a man and wrongly dealt with in a sexual way by an evil person. It's a very hard and deep-seated matters of the heart. How do you go about forgiving those sort of people? How do you deal with that deep-seated, very hard and harsh thing that's taken place? And yet the Lord is saying, forgive them. If they repent, forgive them. Here's another problem. How many people have come to you that have offended you and come back the next day and said, look, I'm sorry about what happened. I shouldn't have said that. It was wrong. How often has that happened to you? Somebody has come. That's a hard matter. I cite one example of a young man that got very annoyed with me. I asked him to do a simple thing to help in the church ministry. A simple thing to help. And he started arguing and carrying on about this and whether he was going to do this or not going to do that. And it developed and he began to get very angry and nasty about this. He'd eaten the food that my wife had prepared, and I said, you've bitten the hand that fed you. When wife is getting a bit teary and upset, I said to this young man, it is time for you to leave. He tore around immediately from my house to the deacon's place and told him an incredible story about what happened, and that deacon believed every word that he said. 12 years went by. 12 years went by. He was at a fellowship meeting down in Adelaide and this young man said, can I talk to you? And you're thinking, now, dear Lord, am I ready for this? Is it going to be another round? Is it going to be more of the same? I could have been unbiblical and said, get over it, brother. Just get out of my space. Beat it, you know. I said, well, I did say something, is it going to be a good discussion? of unbelief, you know. And I said, well, all right, we'll meet. So we met. And he began apologizing, opening his heart and bringing that out. And I was able to express from my perspective how I saw this and what I was trying to achieve and how this really affected him. He didn't go well after that. And even to this day, he's not doing as well as what he could. But obviously, yes, forgiveness. If the brother, if he comes to that and the Lord said, if he repents, forgive him. But what about if he doesn't repent? What about it? How does our faith go then? Well, he needs to admit that he's wrong. Very wrong what he's done. He needs to admit that. You know, get real. Admit what you've done is wrong. And when you get to that point, then we'll talk about it, okay? Ooh. And our Lord is saying, forgive him. Now, I think our faith needs to be that way, that it goes beyond to the next level. Our Lord had faith that he died on the cross and paid totally for our sin debt. Did he not? He paid it all, and unconditionally he offers forgiveness. I think our faith needs to rise to that level, because in a lot of the little rubs and offences that go, it happen in life and different upsets that take place around about, we need to be unconditional in our forgiveness. It's obviously better if a person will admit their wrong and deal with it in reality. It's obviously better. But if they don't, how am I going to respond to that? I'm going to have faith to believe in the forgiveness of our Lord Jesus Christ. And in the Word of God, which tells me to forgive people. Love your enemies. Brother Smith used to help us in the ministry, dear old Dr. Smith, senior saint of God. Lord sent him along at the right time, and some of us younger pastors needed a senior saint to come in and preach to us and to answer our questions and to give counsel and advice. He said, gentlemen, you need to learn this. Love your enemies and it will scare them to death. They won't know what to do. You meet up with somebody that you've had, you know, they've had a thing about you and they've said things and everything. And you meet up with them down the bank or somewhere. Hey, brother, it's just, guys, you know, the other person, what's going on here? Love your enemies. And I think that's what the Lord is teaching. But we need to have faith to believe that it is better to do that. It is better to love them. It is God's will to love them. It is God's will to forgive them. It is God's will for us to see the Spirit of God working to dissolve the problem. You know what? According to what the disciples, the apostles are saying here, and the Lord's stamp of approval on what they're saying, increase our faith. In this day and age, when there's so much ungodliness around about, so many things that are offensive going on in the world and around about. What are we going to say? You heathen, why don't you get saved? You know, you'll be a lot better person. Is that how we're going to reach people? Love them, forgive them, reach out to them and share the love of our Lord Jesus Christ with them. Take them to the cross of Calvary, and we need to go there often. And just realize he's forgiven us of so much. We can forgive others. But the disciples related this business of forgiveness and the ability to forgive to faith. Do we join the dots together in this? In order to forgive somebody, we must realize that God says that's the best way to do it. Our flesh says, boy, pay back. Our flesh said, get them back, you know. So our number one, they're a bit grouchy to us and say, you know, don't like the clothes we're wearing. And so we think about, stew over this, and our number two, we say, yeah, well, I don't like what you're wearing either. Why don't you go and buy some decent, why don't you get someone to advise you on your colour scheme? I mean, I'm just using a bit of a silly illustration, But people do fight over things like that in the workplace, believe me. Over the stupidest little things. Husband and wife will have a fight and a disagreement. And a situation, the worst situation I've had, I think, was that I discovered that this man hadn't spoken to his wife all week from Monday through to Sunday. And they show up at church and you think, now something's wrong with brother such and such. Sister such and such doesn't look too good either. You know, and the pastor says, how are you going, brother? And he's down in the mouth, you know. Is there anything I can do to help? Oh no, everything's okay, brother. We need to have faith to believe that forgiveness is the answer and the best way. The Bible way is the best way. When we get into this situation, we're getting into spiritual growth, aren't we? Our faith is developing and we're trusting God more and we're able to then apply that, even though we're thinking everything in us is telling us this guy doesn't deserve this, you know. He's a turkey. Well, here, there you go. But God says this is the best way to go. That abused child is the best way to forgive. I didn't say you're going to hang around with this person again, or you want your children around this abuser or what have you. I didn't say that. We need to be wise. Wise as serpents, harmless as doves. We need a lot of wisdom in the area of child protection and so on. I think we need to think seriously about this matter of protecting the vulnerable and innocent. And our behaviour towards them and what we're doing with them and so on. Because, you know, it's not God's will that we get involved in that. But see, there was a lady that came to her pastor and she said, Pastor, I don't know what's wrong. She said, I've been saved, but I don't know what's wrong in my life. Things are not right. So I began talking to her. She had a deep-seated bitterness against her father. And she determined, well, I'm not forgiving him, he doesn't deserve it. The pastor advised her, took her to the cross and advised her to forgive her father and to go to him, discuss the offence with him. That she did. He had no idea how it had affected her life. He broke down and began to weep. And the lady began to share with him how this had affected her life, child, this abuse. And he had no idea that it had affected her. And no idea that she was so upset about this. He'd gone on with his life and had a happy life, as it were, in the world. But she was bitter. She was upset by all this that festered inside. He didn't know a thing about it, went on and had happy days. But as she began to relate that, God began to work on her father and show him his sin and his need and the forgiveness and how this came about. So indeed, it took a lot of faith for her to go to him and to believe that that was the way to go. Now it's interesting, in verse number 6, we were introduced to the mustard seed in the last sermon, and at this time we're talking about another kind of tree. And again, the Lord said, if you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, tiny little faith there, you might say unto this sycamine tree, be thou plucked up by the root and be thou planted in the sea, and it should obey you. What's the significance of this? A sycamine tree is a blue mulberry tree. They grow very old. They grow slowly and they grow very old. And I'm sure Wilson would like to volunteer to dig a sycamine tree out. He was transplanting a little. I was amazed when I saw how thick the roots were that he transplanted that ground cover around the tree in the middle of that triangular area over to another place. It was a lot of work, wasn't it? It painstaking. I was thankful that, you know, I could ask somebody else to do it. Anyway, but delegation, you know. But he had a real to dig that out, but that's nothing compared to this sycamine tree. Deep, strong-rooted, goes down. A lot of people thought, well, I'll just chop it off. But if you do that, it'll keep reshooting again. Reshooting. It's a strong old tree, has a heart-shaped leaf that's a bit rough to the feel, gets very deeply rooted. This relates well to the forgiveness issue, doesn't it? Can get very deeply rooted. And yet the Lord says that mustard seed faith can pull that out. I know people to this day that have got a problem of a lack of forgiveness and an offence that took place, and they've tried to go to the people and sort it, but they weren't able to sort it, and it's bothering them and everything and the other. Hey, mustard seed faith can root out the sycamine tree. Which is greater? The sycamine tree or the mustard faith? Which is greater? The deep-rooted, hard to get out kind of situation, or the faith, the mustard seed faith? It's a small amount of faith. The disciples are praying, Lord, increase our faith. So quantitatively, we can ask for the Lord to do this. Now then, how do we go about this? How do we see the Lord increase our faith? How does this happen? Well, probably another sermon. I went for a long time in that first area, but I think it's important. Well, number one, turn to the Lord. What did these disciples say? Go away, number. How are we going to do what the Lord says to forgive these turkeys? How are we going to do this? No, they said, Lord, the apostles, plural, the apostles, as a group, they said, almost in unison, Lord, increase our faith. So we need to turn to the Lord and ask Him to increase. We need to see, then, that we need to ask for an increase. Not one of us here tonight have arrived. Our faith has got a lot of growing to do. I'm always amazed, you know, at the college building and this building and everything. The faith of Pastor Matthews speaks to me. That man had faith. In the same year to step out and purchase two properties and to go on in the, that was an upgrade from what they had before when they went to the larger college property there. We had a Korean gentleman representing a group visiting us the other day, wanting to buy us out. But anyway, that's another story. I'll try and get on with the sermon here. But the faith of that founding pastor. And I ask the question, is my faith as much as that? Or is it the question that I ask, have I got a greater faith than that? Can I go further? Can we go further with the ministry, further with the college and so on? Are there not some greater goals to set and some challenges to take? Are there not some serious issues about future and future development and properties and so forth and maintenance issues? Are there not all of those things to handle? There are. It is expensive to run a Bible college, believe me. And spiritually, it puts you right in the line of fire. There are a lot of things between the college and the church, and there's expenses and so forth. But let me say to you, whatever sacrifice, church, that you make, whatever monies that you put in, whatever increase you might make towards college support at all, absolutely worth every cent of it. Look at the lives that can be touched. Look at Rob over there, assisting Pastor Nabil in that growing church, winning people to Christ. And, you know, 20 or so people a year been winning, men he's been winning to the Lord over the last 3 or 4 years. And he's so thankful for the college training that he's had. Now, that about Charlie heading into there, establishing that new work in there in Newcastle. He's already got about 15 adults and he hasn't even had his first service yet. Praise God. Hallelujah. Victory. Yeah. Jesus. He's been able to reach some unsaved people. He's been able to see some hungry saints that are thirsty for a Bible ministry there. God's working. Now, there are just a couple of examples. The men here that assist Pastor's ministry come through the college training. It's vital and necessary. The Timothy ministry of training the younger generation. I think, you know, my challenge to me is, Lord, increase my faith. There are greater challenges. 5 million people in this city. 35 independent Baptist churches that have something to do with us. 50 altogether. There are cities and towns throughout this nation that need a man of God. I had a phone call the other day. Pastor Ringwood, have you got a Timothy? We need a Timothy. An aging minister needing a Timothy. I have to say the hard words. Pray for me. Brother, what are you doing about the Timothy ministry? You're putting a few dollars toward the college to help train. Why would I need to do that? Oh dear. The Timothy ministry. Well, I don't send people to the college now. We've had too many big-headed guys come through. So, but that was a long time, dear brother. And we're more needful, you know. Lord, increase our faith. Amen. But we need to look to the Lord for that. To see our need of increased faith. That's where it all begins. See the Lord is able to increase the faith. And then, look at God's amazing character. Genesis 18:14. Don't worry, college lectures go for 2 hours total, so not quite. But come on with me in Genesis 18:14. It won't take too long. I'll just give you a few more things here tonight. Just to help us to consider the increase of faith. And this is for me. This is for me. And Genesis 18:14. Genesis 18:14. The Lord tells Sarah she's going to have a baby. She's about 90 years old or whatever. 90 years not out, we used to say. And Sarah laughed. The laugh of incredulity. Oh, he says, I'm going to have a baby. You've got to be joking. It just doesn't happen. And the Lord said unto Abraham, wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I of a surety bear a child, which am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the time appointed, I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. And she did, amen? We can read about it. Is anything too hard for the Lord? And this word hard is a hard word. It's the hardest of hard that you could imagine. It's a very tough thing, isn't it? Well, yet you can pray about this. You can pray about this. You can pray about this. And have need of an heir, a child, you can pray about this. And look to the Lord. Is anything too hard for the Lord? And Sarah had to learn this, and she learned it by personal experience, that it was not too hard for God to give her. God's ability, God's power. Look at God's ability. Look at God's power. That'll give you a boost and an increase. I've enjoyed the miracles classes as much as anybody else. Given me a boost to see what God can do. Look at our Lord Jesus. Powerful miracle working ministry. Matthew 17:20. Come on. Matthew 17:20. This is one that again, in the New Testament, we don't have so many references to that comment, is anything too hard for the Lord? But what we've got in chapter 17 of Matthew and verse number 20, 17 and verse 20 is an interesting thing. And they're trying to see a person delivered from Satan's power. And by preaching the gospel, you know, and winning people to Christ, we see them delivered from Satan's power. And sometimes we just have to get a more experienced man of God to come in and lead someone to the Lord. Because we're not able to do it for one reason or another. Thank God for a soul winner like Brother Keith Piper. And many of you know Anthony Jordan. He's trying to win his boss to the Lord. So he says, Brother Piper, I'm trying to win, and the boss is a real estate principal of a real estate business, and he says to Pastor, come on over, you might be able to lead this guy to the Lord. I can't, you know, it's not, he went over there, and it was a Tuesday morning. By 10 o'clock, he'd been over there, led the man to the Lord, and was back in his office at home. Brother Piper, incredible. You know, that's his ministry, that's his gift, evangelist gift. He's got, definitely got that very strongly. By the way, when they've got that strongly, there are other areas of great need and they need a lot of prayer, as we all do. But anyway, they're trying to work with this man and deliver him, and they can't do it. In verse number 20, "And Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief, for verily I say unto you, if ye have faith as a" what? Let's hear it. "As a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence into yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you." Is anything too hard for the Lord? Nothing shall be impossible unto you. Within the perspective, within the will of God, within the circumference of God's will for your life, He's going to remove obstacles. Here a mountain is described. It's a sycamore tree where we're looking now. Here's a mountain can be removed. A sycamore tree, that which is rooted down hard inside. Heart-shaped leaves, it's a matter of the heart. The Lord is able. Lord, increase our faith. Nothing's impossible for God. Nothing and no one. Our Lord Jesus is powerful to work these things through His children. Nothing, notice what it says there, and I put this challenge forward. Nothing shall it be impossible unto you. God, I know that you can do this. Nothing's impossible with you. I know all of that. But Lord, I can't handle this. I'm out of here. Lord, I can't. It's too much. I can't handle it. I'm out of here. I can't make it. I can't get out like that, you know. Well, nothing shall be impossible unto you. Through God and His power, through faith, nothing shall be impossible. Learn how others did it and be inspired. See what others have done. Pastor Matthews and others, church planters down through the years of this country, over in the overseas and so on, missionary endeavours that have gone out. You know, in the Depression, missionary work still continued. Praise God. Independent Baptist churches were planted in the Depression period. Well, how did I do that? Well, cosmetic company was formed that became very successful during the Depression because depressed people would make up their face and brighten up a bit. Amen? Barn needs painting, paint it, you know. But even in hard times, we can trust God. In the hard times, in the depressing times, when you turn on the radio and hear the latest news is more of the same, only worse. Be inspired by what others did in time past. Inspiration without education leads to frustration. Learn what they did, how they did it. Begin to learn, get educated, see how they did these things. Then you can step out. You want to build a Sydney Harbour Bridge? You've got a big chasm need to be crossed. You want to build a Sydney Harbour Bridge? Well, study about this. Become an engineer. If you want to build a bridge like that, study it. Become an engineer. Learn about it. And you'll be able to do great mega things as well. You've got to study to show thyself approved unto God. That's where college comes in. Be inspired by what others have done and then seek God to educate us on how they did these things and what our part in the matter is and could be. Never draw the line. Well, I'm comfortable. It's okay. I've got faith, Pastor Ringwald. Don't sit there and think, well, I've got faith. I'm not talking about whether or not you've got faith. I know that you have. Okay? All of you, I know that you have. But I'm talking about, Lord, increase. Amen? Amen? Increase. What's the challenge you're facing this year? Lord, increase my faith so that I can take this challenge. Others have done things for you, Lord. Use me. Show me. Teach me, Lord, your way. And I'm sure the Lord will hear that prayer. Lord, increase our faith. Learn to trust Him. Don't limit God by the smallness of your faith and the inflexibility of your way of thinking. Ask God to lead you and work and give you creativity and take on a greater challenge for His name. Be willing to change. Lord, increase our faith. We need, Lord, to have increase faith so that we can forgive people as we ought. Lord, increase our faith, and whether it's our giving or our Christian living or our whatever it might be, our temperance, whatever it is, Lord, increase our faith so that we can take on the challenge of a city like this and the work of God in our world at this time. Set yourself on a pathway of growth. A rut is a, what did they used to say? A grave with the ends kicked out, you know. It's just more of the same. More of the same. Oftentimes our thinking gets that way, it's more of the same. Some people, even at a certain time of the year, they'll go out and buy a new pair of shoes. They bought a new pair at the same time last year. They bought the same pair. What's happening? They're not growing in faith. They're not launching out. They're not moving on in their life. The pathways of the thinking patterns are not growing in faith. They can be locked down, tied down, and be like that sycamine tree, deeply rooted down into the ground, and they aren't going anywhere. Well, we can by faith see the sycamine tree move. Set on a pathway of growth. The direction of growth. Which direction are you on at the moment? Holding pattern? Staying? Going backwards? Down? Sideways? Whatever? Get in a growth pattern of faith. And ask the Lord, increase, Lord, and make some changes. Then, when the next challenge comes along, apply that faith and do what God says you ought to do. Don't do it the same way. Oh no, here's this turkey coming along again. Excuse my reference to the turkeys, but oh no, here's this guy. Lord, I've made my New Year's resolution. I'm not going to hang around with this guy again. But I'm back at work now. Here he comes. Whoops, I'm into the copy room or something. Over here. Oh no. Run him and say, hey, good to see you. And he's not saved. He's good to see you, mate, you know. It worked. Ah, new year. Let's go. Make the changes. Set the changes in place. Set the changes. Change the patterns. Set the changes in place. By faith. And move forward by faith. Lord, increase our faith. Let's bow in prayer.